speak against the spirit of kidnapping in our nation. Just yesterday in the news, PFN chairman of Kaduna was kidnapped alongside his wife. And I even heard that they come to people's houses now to kidnap them. We will take up a prayer against every work of the enemy. The Bible says, as soon as they hear my voice, strangers shall fade out of their hiding places. Every kidnapper and their sponsors, Lord, we pray that they are exposed and all their antics are frustrated. Pray in the name of Jesus. Come on, pray this morning. In la nomo mete costa, in le moro betane bahato, mendo pani hali kohane bahadiste, remo vele tiko sele nahata, in gumane vele kohane, in guamele buske le bahagosia, in dunana la basa le hele konde, le bodoske bahata, ira mele kotom vele kohata, akshaba rakata, ile bolokata la bahanego, ile mose le bahata, akshaba la rose, we expose them. In Jesus' mighty name. Everyone benefiting from the evil that persists in our nation, Lord, we decree an end has come to their schemes. Come on, shout amen better. We agree as one body in Christ, and we come against every mastermind of evil, every schemers and plotters of evil in this nation. We drown all their efforts in the name of Jesus. We decree that like Jannes and Jambres, they shall proceed no further. Every evil agenda against the body, every evil scheme and plan against the body of Christ in our nation, we stand and declare, it shall not stand. It shall not stand in the name of Jesus. The shield of God is over us. His blood speaks for us. No evil, I repeat, no evil comes near our dwelling place. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, lift your hands and celebrate Jesus. I didn't say clap, I said lift your hands and celebrate Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in church this morning? Come on, help me look for a neighbor and tell your neighbor, welcome to church once more. Say, neighbor, you're looking good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Please have your seat in God's presence. Oh, let me have our fire. David said in 2 Samuel 5:20, he said, God has busted forth as a flood ahead of me. It can say, one key word that God gave me for 2021 is going to be a year of the breaks.
Amen.
He said, hard issues
long-standing problems are giving way. Amen. Hi, say your amen like you know what I'm saying. Amen. And he gave me one word I've not forgotten. He said, structures of wickedness will be dragged to their knees. Amen. And the throne of righteousness shall be established in our nation.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying, yo? It came. You know that word along the bricks. I said, an angel whispered that word in my ear. I was just meditating, and it just came. The bricks. Whether it's for Nigeria, and the prophecy for 2021 is not just for us. God gave me words for the nation. But in Nigeria, structures of wickedness have collapsed.
Amen.
And the throne of righteousness shall be established.
Amen.
God just give me a word for the church, give me a word for the nation, and I believe it with every ounce of my being. Every ounce of my being. And you will see it manifest.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God forevermore. Praise God forevermore. Alright, I'm going to start from where I stopped earlier on. Talked about growth, right? Spiritual growth, right? And I did say that we should be deliberate about growing up spiritually. Before I continue, let's recognize the presence of Pastor Afolabi Ibrahim. Hallelujah. Clap if you are clapping. The founder, General Overseer. Doesn't like bogus names. So we just call him the coordinator, the presiding bishop.
Hallelujah.
Of Ecclesia Pavilion. Even the name said, with that devil, please adjust yourself. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
We're glad to have him. Also, member of Board of Trustees, Grace Fortress Church.
Hallelujah.
And they are doing well. Put your hands together for him once again. And Matam Pastor. Pastor Mrs. Doesn't want to thank me. I'm giving you. You are taking it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Mrs. Sarah Afolabi Ibrahim. How about you? I gave Dr. Swipe, Dr. Mrs. Giving you Pastor Mrs. You are taking it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Say amen for her. Give me someone say amen. Amen. Alright. Okay, so I'm talking about growth. Growth is constant. Interestingly, in the body, growth occurs whether you are aware of it or not. Amen? Even if the person that is growing is not aware. Of course, I mean that in physical size or, you know, in aging, growth occurs naturally when the body is fed right. When you feed your body with the right things, you will naturally grow. Amen? So growth is constant. Growth can be conscious or unconscious. That means you can grow consciously and you can grow unconsciously. As a matter of fact, your body grows a lot of times without your personal consciousness. How many of us ever felt a year older on your birthday? You felt it. As you feel it that you are a year older. You don't feel it, but you are growing. However, for your mind to grow, it has to be deliberate. Amen. You know, I told you, I said spiritual growth is not a miracle. It cannot be what? Imparted. You cannot lay hands on somebody and say, grow spiritually. No. It is deliberate. So growth is something that happens whether we are aware or not aware. Growth is a constant in life. And the direction in which a thing or a person is growing can differ. You can grow in laziness. Amen? You can grow in lasciviousness. Let me speak in James English. You can also grow in diligence. Everything in life allows the process of growth. Every phenomenon in life embraces the concept of what? Growth. Whether it's a positive thing or what? A negative thing. So growth is a constant. Regardless of the situation or circumstance, growth happens. And you must come to terms with that. That growth will always happen, either in the negative or in the positive. When someone is diligent, he can grow in diligence. When someone is faithful, he can grow. When someone is not faithful, he can also grow in that area. So growth is a constant. And can apply to anything in life. So we must be conscious of the fact that there is a need to grow in that which is good. There's a need to grow in that which amounts to relevance in destiny. There's a need to grow in that which advances the cause of the gospel. There's a need to grow in that which advances the cause of the kingdom. As believers, our first priority is kingdom advancement. Amen. Come on, talk to me. We don't line your priority the way other people line their own priority. Our first priority as believers is that the kingdom of God be advanced through what God has committed into your hands. It must be a tool for kingdom advancement. Are you with me? Growth is what brings about productivity. That means where there is no growth, there cannot be what? Productivity. Every human being has the potential to reproduce. But it is growth that makes it possible. Adasa is as much a woman as a mother. But she is not productive currently. Because she has not grown to the age of what? Productivity. I mean biologically now. But when she gets to that point, the cycle sets in and she can be able to what? Reproduce herself. But right now, she is every inch a woman as she would be in 25 years time. However, until growth occurs, she cannot be productive. So if you are going to be fruitful like Jesus commands, he said that what? You have not called me, but I have called you that you may what? Bear fruit, John 15:16, and that your fruit may what? Abide. Our call as believers is the call to be productive. It's a God call to reproduce ourselves. It's the call to reproduce that life of God that is in us and fill the earth with the knowledge of it. So if we are called to be productive, if we are called to increase in relevance, to increase in influence, it means that we must be committed aggressively to growth. Because without growth, there cannot be productivity. Are you with me? Are you with me? Alright. So the first thing you must note, if you want to title this, you might title it, setting the stage for growth. Setting the stage for growth. How do I set the stage to grow? In case you want the titles, type it out. Okay, number one is embrace your need to grow. Embrace what? You must agree that you need to what? To grow. And one of the greatest initiators of growth is dying. He said, except a seed of wheat dies, it does what? It abides alone. The greatest principle of growth is to die. To die to self. You want to grow spiritually, you must die. Because every seed has the potential for growth, but that potential is unlocked in death. That means the seed must go into the ground and first die. How many ever planted a seed before and then after like a day you went to open the ground and you saw that the seed had opened up? What's happened there? Those very anxious farmers. When you plant something, you go and take it back and say, this is not growing. When we're supposed to do that, we should have this in school, then secondary school. We'll plant something. Then we'll go and check it. Then we'll ask that the seed has broken open. What is happening is that that seed you planted, the first thing it has to do before it grows is that it will die. When it dies, the potential for growth inside of it begins to spring out. And you will never plant 3 seeds of maize and harvest 3 seeds of maize. Hello, come on, talk to me. That means what you will harvest might be a full stalk of maize, but in that seed was the potential for growth. Unless it dies, it remains alone. So in embracing the need to grow, you must first die to self. And I mean that in every ramification, you must die to self. You must die to selfishness. You must die to self-centeredness. You must die to the flesh. You will never see the need to grow unless you die. Galatians 2 verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I what? But not I that liveth. Yet it's Christ that what? And the life which I live in the flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and did what? Killed himself for me. So I am crucified, means I am dead. Romans 7, 6 verse 7, it says, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. So the first thing to grow is to what? To die. To die to self. To die to the flesh. To die to self-centeredness. Why did I use the word selfishness or self-centeredness? Because you must understand that your life is a lot more than about you. If something goes well with you, it affects more people than you. If something goes wrong with you, it affects more than you. That is how to live a life that is not self-centered. So you must embrace the need to grow. I do not consider myself to have what? Attained anything. So Paul said, I do not consider myself. I don't see myself as having apprehended. That means with every step I have taken, I see the need to be better. Spiritually, embrace the need to grow. In your career, embrace the need to grow. As a pastor, every time I preach, I set a stage to preach better. I want to preach better. I want to impact people better. I always see the need to grow. I don't hear myself preach and say that is the best I can give. No. Always embrace the need to grow. Growth does not happen by miracle. Growth happens deliberately. Growth does not happen by accident. Growth happens intentionally. Don't throw your life to the wind. Don't throw your life to chance. Be deliberate about growth. Be intentional. Wake up in the morning with a desire to be better than what you gave yesterday. It's only in Nigerian school. Sorry, I brought this lecturer in the house. The lecturer will lecture you with a note he bought last year. While I was on campus, we had a course then, industrial microbiology, in part 4, in part 3. And then, lecturer came to class, came out and said, okay, go on, you know, to your class rep, go on for copies. I was interacting with a foreign level student, I was a clear level. He said, ah, do you have this note? He said, come, you see that woman? If you want the note, just come, let me give you. He said, what she taught us is what she will teach you. As the guy was prophesying, when he brought his note, well, I promise you, where we stopped in the class, when I read it, it was word for word. No improvement. He said, this thing you are saying is what she thought he said before us. No growth. No improvement. And unfortunately, many of us go through that system and develop the same attitude to life. Embrace the need to grow. In your relationship, embrace the need to grow. Have time to sit down and evaluate. Don't assume that everything is just fine. Even as a couple, we do it. Evaluate. And even if I forget, my wife will be diligent to remind me. See, that's the evaluation. Until we sit down and run through the year, where are the lapses? Where is the good part? How do we seek to improve this? Everyone needs to grow. Everyone needs to be better. You must embrace the need to grow. Paul said, I am pressing on. I am pressing on. For the upward calling, I press on. I stretch myself to comprehend, to apprehend that for which I am being apprehended. I press on. If you have been praying for 30 minutes, it's time to grow. If you just study for 1 hour, it's time to grow. Whatever level you've attained in life, embrace the need to what? Number two, admit your ignorance when you discover it. What did I say? Scripture says, get wisdom. And in all that you get it, get understanding. Seek knowledge. When you discover ignorance, don't cover it up. Because you might display ignorance before someone who will not embarrass you today. If you don't work on it, you will carry that same ignorance to a place where you'll be embarrassed. And I always say this, what you don't know, you don't know. What you know, you know. It's not motivational thinking, I'm telling you, it's just a basic fact of life. Amen. The Bible, you don't know, you don't know it. What you know is what you know. Seek knowledge. You know, I told you, align your perception with God's word. So, in seeking knowledge, ensure that what you are seeking as knowledge lines up with the revelation of scriptures. Amen. Now, you know, people say, I'm annoying things today. Ah, you know, somebody puts the scripture of one group I belong to, Colonia, about how that Noah married his wife and his wife was just asking, can we stay with what is written? It's extra canonical books. You know, Joshua chapter 5. How to just embrace? Can we just stay with this one? This one I will not finish reading. Everything that you see in this Bible today was deliberately put there because they point to the revelation of Christ. What is not put there, leave it for those who didn't put it. You know, I was so crazy for that as a teenager. Very crazy. I wanted to know everything. Until I read one book, Cave of the Ancients. I started having astral traveling. I'm telling you, I started like it. In Yaba, I slept and a part of me left my body. Ha ha ha. Father, that book, as I read the book, you are getting it in the court. You are empty as I read it. When I woke up, I just kissed my face and was mumbling some words in prayer. Then I wasn't even born again. Just going to church. My mother was a pastor, so all of us are Christian. Jesus, Jesus. Anything came back into my body. When I got up, I carried the book, I burnt it into ashes. Until I could blow the other end. We now went for comprehensive deliverance in America. Or punish that devil. Don't seek for knowledge at the detriment of your sanity. There's a guy in our choir, then back in Djibouti, Russia, read on TV, went and read 7 books from Moses. Guy, that man. Stop, I'm telling you. Wonderful brother, committed, massive giver. That guy doesn't hear giving in church. He gives him like this. 7 books from Moses, 7 years madness. And more. I don't know where he is today now. He went mad, I'm telling you. So in our pursuit of knowledge, let it be confined by the revelation of Christ. In your career also, seek knowledge. But let the basis of your knowledge be that which the Bible has revealed. It will help you filter whatever you receive. You know, we say that Christianity is not a religion. I mean, we say it's life. But when they ask you to fill a jam form, don't write that. Or they ask you to fill a form for a grant. You say, what religion? You say, it's not saying I don't have a religion. Why? It's saying it's not a religion. So I see what they wrote there. That's what I'm saying. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. So what we are saying is that get knowledge. Knowledge that is relevant to your activity. Knowledge relevant to your career, your business, particularly your spiritual life. Grow. We grow by what we know. We grow by what we know. We don't grow by miracles. We grow by knowledge. Seek knowledge. A man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Separate yourself to deliberately seek knowledge. When you have found out your ignorance, you say you can be arguing, but you say don't argue too much before your neighbor will come and discover your ignorance. And when you don't know, run to Bro Google. Amen? Amen. Don't disgrace your destiny. Just run. You know, children can ask some kind of question that you don't have answers. You know, being a father, you don't know what it means to answer, to not answer the question. You think you're a prof until your children start asking you questions. You know that all the book you have read, you cannot even answer one question. Admit your ignorance. Don't prove to anybody when you don't know something. Praise God. Praise God. Number three. Ask the Lord to show you the lesson of each challenge. When you go through a challenge, don't just ask for God to take it away. Ask God to show you the lesson to learn. Ask God to show you the lesson to pick from each challenge you go through. There is always something to learn. The reason why is that so that you don't find yourself in that same challenge again. Because there will be other challenges. Amen. But there is always a lesson. Whether it is something somebody caused for you or something you caused by yourself, there is always a lesson to learn from it. We must be diligent to ask, Lord, what am I to learn from this? Jesus, Bible says, he learned what? Obedience. Through what? The things he suffered. So even our Lord Jesus Christ learned obedience from suffering. So the things we go through in life are not to destroy us. They portend a great lesson that we can use to avoid those things again or to help people avoid them. Thanks be to God of all comforts, who has comforted us that we may be able to what? Comfort others. But if I do not learn in that tribulation, I will not be able to what? Comfort anybody. Pray to God to take away challenges, but much more, pray to see the lesson each challenge has brought. What have I learned from this experience? Don't waste challenges. Don't waste troubles. Draw wisdom from them. There's always a wisdom from every challenge. There's always a wisdom in every problem. Draw from it. Don't waste it. You know Israel in the wilderness, all they kept crying for was either for bread to eat or what? Or water or meat. When they ate bread, they asked for meat. They ate manna. Food baked by angels. And you see, they could not discern what they were eating. Know what they call it? Know what manna means? What is this? Lack of discernment. That's why they ate manna and were still asking for meat. So God said, you want meat? Okay. You will eat the meat until you come out of your nose. Quails! Boom! In one night, meat was everywhere. They ate the meat and were tired. Water! Water! They were always complaining for something. They were always agitated about something. They were always in the Aluta camp. You know Aluta? We no go agree, oh, we no go agree. We the masses, we are suffering like this. You the masses, tongue talking, blood washed, the masses. We shall always fight for our rights. Zuba, Zuba, Zuba. See, they did that throughout, and the Bible says their carcasses fell in the wilderness. None of them made it except Caleb and Joshua in that generation into the promised land. They ate that food and died. Christ told them in John 5 and 6. He said, your fathers ate manna and died. You know why? Because they did not discern what they were eating. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said, I am that bread sent from heaven. You see, this guy has come again. Are we now vampires be eating your flesh? The same lack of discernment. Same lack of discernment. There's always a lesson to learn in every challenge. If you allow that trouble to go without learning the lesson, then you have wasted it. You have lost on both sides. Every challenge portends a lesson. Be diligent to ask God, what is in this for me to learn? What is in this for me to do better? Don't quit when things get hard. Stand strong. Bible says, having done all. To what? Huh? It says, stand against the wiles of the devil. Having done all. Ephesians 6. Only Bible is Ephesians 6. Man, the leg of all. Stop. We're talking about what? Setting the stage for what? Come on, talk to me. Ephesians 6, verse 10. It says, in conclusion, strengthen yourselves in the Lord and in the power which is supreme might in parts. It's way more translation. Put on the complete armor of God for so as to be able to stand firm against all the what? The wiles of who? Stand. Put on the armor and stand firm against all the wiles of the devil. You see, the word faith will not be relevant if there were no challenges. Amen. Amen. Why do you need faith? Paul said, there are three that abide. He said, hope, faith, and love. He said, but love is the greatest. Why? When you leave this part of eternity, you will not need faith.
Hello?
Faith is the currency that makes the spiritual realm tangible. Come on, talk to me. Faith is what makes what you cannot see tangible. The hope of what? The substance, rather, of things hoped for, the evidence of unseen realities. It is the evidence that what I cannot see actually is real. That is faith. So, when there are challenges in your life, it's not a time for you to begin to lament or think of quitting. It's a time for you to release your faith potential. It's a time for you to release the power of God you claim all this while as you are carrying. So, the power of God is not a claim. It's what you release in adversity. You don't just claim it. But when adversity comes, that is where you answer adversity. Because let me tell you, there is nobody, no matter how spiritual you are, the devil will come after you. Hello? The devil is not afraid of you being spiritual. If you see right, I mean, he came after Jesus Christ. That is why it is what you have been fed with that will defend you, that will come out in the day of adversity. You know, it's not about motivational cliches, so quitters don't win and winners don't quit. Very good cliche. But sir, in the day of adversity, You may not have the liberty to remember this cliche. It is the word of God in your spirit that will speak. He said, if you fail in the day of adversity, your strength is this. One person says you are made of inferior material. You know those Ankara that fail in the day of adversity? Those Ankaras that fail in the water of adversity. Some, while they are even sweating, is failing. All those Amoras in English, God help them. When they want to collect their goods, they go and give them Ankara. While they are struggling for the Ankara, is failing on their body. It is made of inferior material. He said, if you fail in adversity. So adversity will come. It is what you are made of that determines what you do in the day of adversity. If you will not quit, then you must equip yourself with the right material in your spirit to withstand all the wiles of the devil. Because brethren, they will come. Oh, but I said, I thought when I pray, nothing will happen to me. Sir, when you pray, you build capacity. But the devil will come knocking. What he meets when he comes knocking depends on you. So in setting the stage for growth, you must see adversity as bread. Because that God has given you a word does not mean that adversity will not challenge it. You know what he told the Israelites? God told them, I bring you to a land flowing with milk and honey. I bring you to a land. And they went, wow. Until Moses said, let's go and spy the land. And Moses showed himself 12 spies. And when the 12 spies got to the land, they saw giants, other kings, sons of giants. And when they came back to the camp to report, 10 of the spies said, Oga, forget that thing. Just burn that thing. He said, the land is a land that eats up its inhabitants. He said, and we're like grasshoppers to them. But two men came and said, they are as bread to us. He said, we are well able to take the land. What were they seeing? Every time God gives you a word, equip yourself with the capacity to receive it. Many times we hear prophecy, but there is no capacity to bet it into manifestation. And the way we build that capacity is in place of prayer. Don't hear a prophecy and go and sleep. Prophecy is the kickstarter of events. Prayer is the womb where events are birthed. If you will not quit in the day of adversity, you must be a man that bears prophecy in the womb of prayer. Caleb and Joshua saw it differently. They are as bread to us. We will eat their lunch. And we are well able to take the city. That was the report that Caleb and Joshua, Bible says, for these two men had a different spirit in them. 10 spies. You know, but unfortunately, as the world is programmed, the people believe the reports of the 10 spies against the reports of the two men. God does not work by number majority. God works by those who believe in his word. Two men who believed God did not deter God from bringing his word to pass. He said, God is able to save either by a multitude or by little. God is not moved by numbers. When it comes to the carrying out of his agenda, if one man has enough faith to receive it, God will. I fear the prayer of John Knox more than the armies of Scotland. One man who will pray, they sent him out of the city. He went to the burial ground and continued preaching there. The whole city came and met him there. Thank God for corporate prayer. But the Bible says the prayer of one righteous man, one, avails much. So we must stand in the face of adversity, and we cannot afford to quit. Shambak once said, he said many times in prayer, we don't know how much we have wearied out the devil before we quit. We don't know how much we have, he's so wearied and then he does it. Oh, not there. Stand! 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 Keep standing. Look at it in the face. Speak the word of God. Pray. Hit it until it goes down. Who art thou, O mountain, before you shall be made level as a plain? We are mountain levelers. He said, he has made you a sharp threshing instrument. Having what? Teeth. What do you do with it? To thresh the mountains into powder. We are mountain levelers. We don't run back when mountains show up. In fact, without the mountain, I have been waiting for a day like this. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? In the day of battle, Saul ran back. Eliab, army generals, ran from Goliath. But David said, what shall be given? See, every time you have an answer, negotiate your balance. Did you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying if you're a businessman, you have an answer. Tell them what you want. Don't go and start saying, anything you give me is okay. That statement has never made anybody rich. This is for business, I'm not saying for the gospel. I'm not going to say, hey, you're ahead of a man of God, that before you see him, you pay 300 kids. Before you see him, see the man of God. I'm not saying that one. I'm talking about your business. Don't cause yourself short and say, anything. You know, I'm just here, anything you can give me, sir. People don't value that way. Who value those who charge them and they have answer. David said, what shall be given to the man that breaks down this uncircumcised Philistine? Imagine a guy who never fought a war asking that kind of question. His brother heard him and said, you arrogant son, you have left those small sheep and you won't come and throw yourself in. But David saw adversity as good. And when he looked at Goliath, he changed the picture of Goliath. He said, who are you that you defy the armies of the Lord? That means he did not just see Israel as a nation, but he saw Israel as the army of God himself. In the strength of that revelation, oh, Saul came to him with the king's armor. Who wouldn't love to wear the king's armor? Even the soldiers didn't have the privilege of wearing the king's armor or having the king's sword. It's like having Air Force One in the US. But David said, sir, I have not trained myself in these things. David understood what he had trained himself with. Five smooth stones. And that stone was a revelation. Anyone who defies the name of the Lord from outside shall be stoned from outside the camp. David understood that. So only one stone was enough to defeat Goliath. And when Goliath went down, David fulfilled his promise. He said, today I will cut off your head and feed it to the vultures. Goliath for 40 days had threatened Israel. And every time he will come out and roar, I said, we don't need to fight this war. Bring me one man from your camp. Let me and the man fight. If he wins me, we are your slaves. But if I win him, you will become our slaves. So he said, no need for the war, just me and one of your men. When the man came, he was not the king's choice. He was not the trained servant. But it was a man who had been trained in the wilderness. You see that? He wasn't trained to fight Goliath. But he was trained for war. Because when King Saul asked him, he was not only telling the king that I anointed. He said, your servant was keeping his father's sheep, a lion came. I took the sheep out of the mouth of the lion and tore the lion. Your servant was keeping the sheep and the bear came. So David was reading his credentials of how he had won in the past. He may not have won that particular battle, but he had a record of victory. He had a testimonial of victory. Every battle you conquer, prepares you for another one. You may not have to face the same battle, but you can draw on the testimony of the previous one. David looked at Goliath, and with the same understanding, a young boy brought down a man who was a warrior from his youth. Saul even told him, "You can't fight this man. He has been a warrior from his youth. You are just a young man." But David insisted. And backed by God, he pulled down a man who had terrorized a bunch of soldiers for 40 days. Don't quit in the face of adversity. Don't look for who to blame in the face of adversity. Stir up the word of God in your spirit. Look into the spirit of God for inspiration on how to solve the problem. There is a spirit in man. The what? The inspiration of the Almighty gives him what? Understanding. Ask God, how do I solve this problem? Don't quit. We are not of them that turn back in the day of battle. Don't quit. Stand firm in what God has said to you. Stand firm in the revealed word and scripture. Why? There is always a word answer for every problem. Don't quit. When you quit, you have nothing to offer anybody who goes through the same problem. But when you face it and fight it, you are not just going to be a victor. You become a consultant in solving that problem. So your victory is not just about yourself. That's why I began by saying you must die to what? Self. It's not just about you. It's a whole lot more beyond you. You must fight to win because of the generation that is coming after you. You must fight to win. You know, you'll never understand what I'm saying until you get married and have children. And sometimes you don't want to do certain things, but when you remember, you may feel, I didn't just say this, but when you remember that there is posterity after you, you don't have to have kids to think that way. See yourself as an influencer, the light of the world. Don't just ask for answers. See yourself as an answer. It will influence the way you ask for an answer. Lastly, as I close, choose humility instead of defending your every action. Choose humility. Philippians 2 verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." One person says, "Who though he was God, he did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasping." He said, "But he made himself of no reputation by coming as a man and dying a criminal's death." He said, "Wherefore, because of this, God has what? Highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things in the earth, and of things beneath the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let this mind be in you." Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time, he himself will exalt you. Be humble. You will lose more by being proud than by not praying. Did you hear what I'm saying here? What does it say? You will lose more in life by being proud than by not praying. So why not praying is not good. But not being humble is not good. As in the not is square. a praying proud man is no better. Because that pride will block you from seeing when your prayer is about to be answered. Of what use is a person who has prayed 5 hours in tongues and is not humble? Because sometimes the person that will help you may even try to rubbish you. Hello? The person that will help you may not even be up to you. At the time you are, immediately that's prayed, bring me the ephod. Let me inquire. And they inquire. On the road, they met a dying Egyptian slave. He was able to calm down. That Egyptian slave was the answer. It was a missing link. The prophecy came to pass as God had said, but there was somebody instrumental to it. You know, you cannot say, me, I'm humble. Even God knows I'm humble. God only knows you are humble in the way you deal with men. You cannot be humble before God when you are not humble before men. That's a claim. And sometimes, you see, knowledge, growth makes you proud. Let me be humble. How can he say Jesus wept? It's wept. The text, the King James Car presentation. The word weep there is not, no, that's what the Greek word he used there. He said, be coming down. Be what? Be coming down. Humble yourself. So you will not be humble. You know, to be humble and to be humbled are two different things, right? Do you agree, man? So if you don't humble yourself, what will happen? You will be humbled. And it's better to humble yourself than to be humbled. Because the second one is not always very funny. Bible says to esteem each other more than ourselves. Esteem yourself highly. Esteem the other person highly. That's what it means to be humble. And pride is manifested in an haughty look. You know haughty look? We are the big boys. We are haughtiness of eyes. Pride is manifested in the way you talk to people. And the way you talk about yourself, pride is manifested too. If you have the urge to always talk about yourself better than anybody, you are dealing with pride. When someone gives a thing, when any person probably says, man of God, last time I was praying, though, three people were raised on the dead. He said, power could not, but here this one. Allow somebody to shine now. Will it kill you? Yeah, you only three. Five! Enjoy people's testimony. Not kill you. It won't delete your own. My auntie, I prayed for her. Thank God. After 18 years, she gave birth. You're only small. One of my auntie, 30 years. Just one word on the phone, I gave her this. Power things. Be humble. But it also shows in not overrating yourself. Many people have overtalked and they have said, okay, it's fine. Being humble and being beggarly are two different things. So when I say be humble, don't be beggarly. Don't always want to be a beggar. I'm not here. That's not humility. Humility means to see yourself the way God sees you. The picture of the word of God, that is how you see us. That's humility. It is pride to lower yourself than what God sees you. It's even pride, isn't it? You hear what I just said? And it's pride. When God calls you that you are the light of the world, that may be like the dark of the world. Amen. To see yourself lower than how God sees you is also a form of pride. Humility. See, there are many people who don't pray like we do. Humility has made way for them. Many of you enter a big man's office, you look down the gate man. That gate man may hold the key. and you don't know. I found that those drivers know them more than those who are their wives. Who they have driver? The driver knows everything about them, that even people that work with. I had a boss one time. When we have an issue in the office, I will hear the issue in the mouth of the driver. I'll be wondering. The driver used to advise him about how he would deal with us. Driver, in the bank. You just say, that time we had them, they talk. I tell him, I'm saying, make it just like this now. And that's what he did. When you're the one wearing suits, then the driver come and carry me somewhere. But the driver is the one advising your girl to deal with you. Then in the bank, when you want to carry her, I will just come. Umaru, come and carry me out. Just tell you one line that one of your superiors wants to send him. You carry your bag and go. So one day I found this format. So Umaru, Umaru, Aji Umaru. He said, Pastor Chibuze. I said, Umaru, okay now? He said, yes. I said, Umaru, I want to go to Poli. He said, yeah, let's go. As we are going, we're chasing. He said, Umaru, you have a matter? Then when I go, I'll buy roasted corn, I'll eat. So we're eating roasted corn together. In my suit. Guess who he likes to carry? It's me. But every time we are always listening, I remove that the banker from it. You know what I'm saying? Maru, enter the car there, let's go. One day we'll drive on the F and I say, the car is spot. You'll be there stranded. Humble yourself. You know, in the Nigerian government, PA has more power than vice.
Yes.
You know, PA to the governor is more powerful than deputy governor. You don't know? Oh, you don't know? You think his name? PA, doctor. PA to the CMD is more powerful than deputy CMD. Because he knows everything the CMD knows. Humble yourself so opportunities don't pass you. It is pride that killed Haman. Because he wanted Mordecai to always bow before him. Everybody was bowing. What is your wrong with the Jewish man? The Jewish man is stubborn. He said, I don't bow to anybody. But the guy began to plot him. Because every time people are passing, Haman just come and say, oh, shit. Mordecai just, But what's the matter? I don't know why Mordecai was not bowing to the guy. But the guy beat one of the country. And when they humbled him, the king asked him, what shall be done to the person the king desires to honor? Haman, thinking it was him. Yes, bring out the king's royal chariot. Let him wear the king's royal robe and let there be a man going before him announcing, this is the man the king seeks to honor. He said, wow, yes, sir. Go! And do likewise to Mordecai the Jew. The guy wanted to faint. He felt like the ground opening. But he did it. The Lord humbled him. So you are saying different between being humble and being humbled. Like we used to watch in Hollywood film. Don't go and make your house girl so hardworking. That when they want to marry, they marry the house girl and leave your daughter. You know, those films, sometimes they are real stories. You know, I heard Pastor Bodji say one story about a family that is 5 years old. And he said that there's this young girl who was like the cousin to the ladies in the house. She was staying with her cousins. But the mother wasn't going to treat her like family. So every time a male suitor came around the house, he will make sure that this girl, who was a niece, will be the one to serve everybody. Our children will sit down in the sitting room. This girl will be serving and be nice and a good afternoon, sir. And family, not house girl. But because she didn't want the girls, the suitors, to see that girl as beautiful, more than her own daughters. He said this thing went on for years. Until one day, a very close family friend, who she had been preparing one of her daughters for, this is not a film, a real life story, came around the house and was just, you know, they had to get together. And as usual, Pastor Bojan, this guy, went for the get together because they are close family friends. And as usual, this cousin girl was the one serving everybody. While she was going around serving, this guy who wasn't married yet, he was going and said, "This girl, I'm going to get her." When they began the issue, Pastor Boy said, he told the girl, said, "Don't say bing to your auntie. Don't say bing. Just pray and quote this one. Because if you say anything right now, that thing will start." It was the day when the guy was to bring his family. Said he just told them, call her and tell her that this person is bringing his family to come and see people. That same day, it was too late for the woman to do scatter. The girl she wanted to look like a maid was the one the man saw and said, "This lady is a wife material. See how she's going around with all this her beauty." Said, even in the suffering, her beauty was issuing. The moral, humble yourself. What might make you stand out after all your prayer and scabashing might be that act of humility. Might be that act that shows, don't worry, you can have it. Humble yourself. Talk to people. See, there are many ladies. I'm not saying that's why we don't get married on time. But there are some ladies who are not married because of pride. The pride is so strong, it smells from afar. Pride. Humble yourself. Under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself. And lastly, one of the ways of suffering is to obey the voice and the instruction of God. It is humility to obey God. When you know what to do and God says to do otherwise, that's humility when you obey. We learn humility also by obeying God. Humility is not a tough job when you have learned to obey God over time. So if you want to learn how to be humble, that's one way. Always learn to seek God for direction and obey Him when He directs you. That way you will learn humility. Are we ready for 2021? Come on, are you ready for 2021?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
And you celebrate Jesus this morning. And you tell Him, thank you.
Thank you, Father.
Oh Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can you speak in the Holy Ghost, somebody? I'm making progress. I'm advancing in my course of destiny. Come on, speak to God this morning. I am 1,000 times better. I make deliberate efforts to grow every day. I am conscious with growth. In the name of Jesus, Mandereka Tane Bahadoshke. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Mandereka Kale Manoshande Bahadi Kale Bahadi Adosya. In the Kondo Palaniga Soto Lehele Bahadisha. I stand firm against adversity. I take adversity as bread, I chew it. By the enactment of the Holy Ghost in me, Kanono Shevele Hendo Bahariata. I do not cave in the day of adversity. I stand firm. Mandaregedia Sonda Bahariata. I grow wiser. I get better. Israel was under slavery, yet thou hast been multiplied greatly. Even in the face of adversity, I increase. My influence increases and abounds, even in the face of adversity. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. We know there's more that's found in you. It's in you. We know there's more that's found in you, Lord. It's in you, Lord. It's in you, Lord.
there's more that's found in you. It's in you, Lord. It's in you, Lord. We know there's more that's found in you. It's in you, God.
It's in
you,
Lord.
Brighter unto a perfect day.
I don't have a better yesterday. My ladder is greater. Glory to God in the highest. Oh, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Come on, celebrate Jesus.
Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word that has come to us expressly this morning. We are grateful. Indeed, our latter will be greater than our past. Thank you, because in 2021 we will advance. Thank you, Jesus. Do not give me a word. I don't know if it's for just one person, for everybody, or for myself. So if you allow me, I would like to share. Praise God. You know, if you check the dictionary, you discover that after the word opportunity, the next word you find is oppose. Every word or branches of words that come out of the word opportunity, right after that, you start finding every other word that has to do with oppose, opposition, and all that. And God was just speaking to me while I sat there that in 2021, many opportunities will come to us in the form of oppositions. But you must look beyond the challenges, you must look beyond the situation. Because in the midst of that trouble, in the midst of that trial, there is a miracle there. And so, Father, we trust you that in 2021 we will break forth.
Amen.
We will come into greatness. Our challenges notwithstanding, our mountains notwithstanding. When the children of Israel, the armies of the children of Israel looked at Goliath, they saw an opposition. But when David came, he saw an opportunity. They looked at Goliath and they said, he's so big, we cannot kill him. David looked at him and said, he's so big, I cannot miss him. Father, when we see oppositions next year, in the midst of those oppositions, we will lift up our voices and give you praise, because in that opposition, your name will be glorified in our lives. We give you praise, Father. Thank you for this wonderful church. Thank you for that which you are doing. Thank you, because in 2021 we will yet increase.
Amen.
On all sides we will increase.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for the vessel you've used this morning. Let your blessing rest upon him. Let your hand be upon him. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God forever. In Jesus' name.